This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Welcome to the People Speak Radio on BBS Radio, broadcasting every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern. And tonight, we'd like to give a shout out to everyone listening on MyNet Home In Your Face Radio. I'm your host, JD, the angelic political rock goddess on In Your Face Radio. And while that might be a lot of radio networking, one thing we all have in common, that's giving you a voice. We want to hear your thoughts. And we have several ways for comments and questions. So jot down the toll-free number immediately for the U.S. and Canada. And for Republicans, the number is 888-429-5471. For Libertarians, the number is 888-429-5471. For Democrats and Progressives, number is 888-429-5471. And I think you get the picture. The toll-free number to talk to Senator Mike Gravel, who's our guest tonight, is 888-429-5471. You can also listen by phone. Call 760-569-7676 and enter the access code 192919 and the pound sign. And if you wish to join us in our Pal Talk studio live, log in to Pal Talk, join our chat room, click on Social Issues and Politics, and there you'll find the People Speak radio show. Okay, without further ado, it is my pleasure, my honor, to bring on tonight's guest. He's the former senator from Alaska and made a run for the 2008 presidential seat. Here with us tonight is Senator Mike Gravel. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you for having me on this program.
Thank you. Okay, for those of you who don't know how rational someone in Congress can be, Senator Gravel is the perfect example of when Congress works. So I just want to open with that. He was only one of two senators to vote against President Johnson's Gulf of Tonkin resolution. So, okay. So I want to take us up now to, since you ran for president in 2008, Senator, there's been a huge, well, not gigantic, cultural and political climate shift in the U.S. with the rising of the Tea Party and these crazy divisions getting bigger and uglier. But I think some things don't change. So what, in your opinion, Senator, was the biggest concerns of the American people going into the 2008 election?
The fact that representative government was not responsive. And so they were trapped. They recognized it wasn't responsive, but they had no alternative. We, on election day, vote to give our power away. That's it. Once we give it away, all we can do is ask them to do the right thing, or plead, protest, you name it. And so what happened in the 2008 election, Obama took what was an apparent populist position, going to have hope and change. And, of course, at the time in debates, I sort of ridiculed that there's not going to be any change. If anything, it'll get worse. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. There was no hope was not translated into change, and we've not had change. The change we've had is it's gotten worse.
Oh, okay. So weeding through some of the, let's just say, I agree with you as far as giving our vote away, because we still continue to do that. So do you think that that's a huge concern now for a lot of Americans? Because we had different concerns going in. We were looking at hope and change and hoping and changing things would happen. And what we got was status quo. And I think the progressives really bit it on that one. But now here it is, 4 years later. Do you think the American people are still have the same concerns with their leaders, with the job market? What do you think are their biggest concerns going in?
The concern is the fact that the electorate is comatose. They know they're not going to get any change. The Republicans, in many of their policies, are outright crazy. Obama is not going to be offering any change at all. And so, by and large, the populace has gone comatose. The media carries the day with all of their reportage, which is really terrible pablum. It's just nothing. Over and over again, we get the same old thing of who's breathing which way, what you know, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's the jobs, or whether it's Bain Capital, about the background of Mitt Romney. It is going to be a sort of a washout in terms of any enthusiasm by the American people to cast their votes.
Yeah, well, also, too, and it's hard weeding out through the issues when there's so much money with all that money that allows these people to create noise that isn't of a concern.
Well, that's a big change. That's a big change. I missed that one. And, the Supreme Court decision.
Citizens United.
With Citizens United versus the FEC.
Right.
Opening the floodgates to money in the election. Now, the floodgates have always been opened after the election with the lobbyists. Billions of dollars are spent lobbying Congress, the White House, you name it, state legislature. So that's always been going on. And that gives corporate America an edge to control our culture and our society. And that's what we have. We're stuck. And now the Supreme Court has sanctified it. And we're going to see billions of dollars spent in this election, and like I say, the people are comatose. They're not going to react one way or the other. They'll just vote, and Obama probably will get reelected, and it will be four more years of the same of what we had in the last four.
Well, I also think maybe that the Congress also doesn't have the strength it has to do as much as it could. Meaning, I'm not really sure if I think that there's just a lot of noise out there about what could be done, because we talk about a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. But wasn't it you that had a constitutional amendment? Gosh, what was that called back then?
National Initiative, and now it's the National Citizens Initiative. And we do have a constitutional amendment, but it's not what they're calling for. What they're calling for just ain't going to happen.
Right.
And we have a chance. You know, my whole effort has been in a direction of direct democracy.
Right.
If, when you look at the problem, there's only two venues for possible change. One is the government, where the problem exists, and the other is the people. Well, the people don't have the government won't, and the people can't, because the people do not have the procedures in place to amend the Constitution and to make some fundamental changes in this country. And the reason why this is the case, it's because of what the framers of the Constitution did. You remember that Washington, Madison, Jefferson, all of the founding fathers felt that the people should be able to change their government in the future to satisfy their needs. Well, to change the government, they forgot to give us procedures. They didn't forget to give us procedures, in point of fact. They wanted to lock in slavery into the Constitution, and they did not trust the American people to leave it there, and rightly so. The people would not have bought slavery in the Constitution. And so what they did is they set up a process of state conventions of nine states, and once it was ratified by those conventions, it became the law of the land. Well, we can do the same thing. You know, the when we say the people should make the change, the people are the source of all political power, well, there's nothing in the Constitution that permits the people to make changes in the Constitution. And that's what's wrong with our society today. And so that's why we're locked into a system that empowered the elites based upon what the framers did in the Constitution and left us in a situation where we're stuck with the dead hand of the past because we can't participate. And that's what I've worked through to have a solution.
Okay, so the National Citizens Initiative for Democracy. Explain to our listeners what that is and how we can move that forward, because It seems like that's sort of like a referendum for the people, correct? That they can make their own laws?
Yes, by initiative. That's right. They can initiate and enact amendments and laws and set policy forward. So what's unfortunate is that we now have to do this in a private fashion. The Congress is never going to set up a process where their power is diluted and the power of the people is improved. So what we've done is we've set up two organizations, the Philadelphia 2, which is a C4 nonprofit corporation, which is conducting a national election, and the process, we follow the process of Article 7, and that is we ask, do you want to be empowered? Now, you don't have to have state conventions. You can just vote. The technology is there, and we ask you to vote at our website, and we'll be circulating ballots, paper ballots for you to vote. And then if you vote in the affirmative, then it'll become the law of the land. Now, the catch is that they had conventions for 9 states. Well, we have the technology to ask Americans, and so we need a standard to bring about the enactment. And that, of course, is the same standard we've been using from the get-go, and that is the majority of the people who vote for the president or the Congress are the ones that elect the president and the Congress. And so what we're saying is when the majority of the people who voted in the last presidential election vote for the National Citizens Initiative directly, mm-hmm. then it becomes the law of the land. And this is fundamental legislation. We only have to do it once, because once we've done it, we have put these procedures into the Constitution that permit the people to act as legislators just like their elected representatives. So it's a partnership that we create. The people can make laws independent of representative government, and representative government can continue to make laws also.
Okay, so if the people are making these laws independent of the government, they can actually vote on not having a war, and they can vote on...
Of course,
on,
they do more than that. They can vote to repeal Citizens United.
Right,
they can
term
vote
limits.
To reset up the issue of corporate personhood. They can vote to deal with the war on drugs and the war in Afghanistan and all these other wars that we're going to be starting.
And taxes? Taxes and health care?
Oh, God, yes. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And they will. They will. Once the people are empowered to be able to act as legislators on a majoritarian basis, they will set policies that will be responsive to our needs, period. And interestingly, the people are more conservative than their leaders, whether the leaders are Democrats, liberals, conservatives, or libertarians. The people as a group are more conservative for the very simple reason that they know it's their money. And they know also that you can't pass laws to regulate morality. Morality is within us as individuals. Passing a law won't make us any more moral.
No, not at all. And it's a one. I love the idea. I absolutely think that could fly. Do you think there's anyone in Congress or anyone... How can we get this done? How can we do something like that?
Well, first off, they don't look to Congress because they don't even understand what we're talking about. They are the leaders. They're the ones that are empowered. No, how we can get this done is just the way we're doing on the radio right now. People that can hear my voice, they can go to the website, NCID, National Initiative for Democracy.us, NCID.us. You can learn about the details of this legislation, and you can vote, and you can contribute, because we're not receiving, obviously, any government money. We're not receiving any corporate money, and so we have to depend upon those who want to be empowered to at least pay $5, $10, $20 with their vote to be so empowered.
Right.
If we can do that, we need 60 million votes. That means that if we can, on average, get $1 to $2 per person, we're talking about having over $100 million to wage this election and to empower American citizens to take control of their lives and governance.
I agree. Well, also, also, given the division within the country, it would have to, well, you know, maybe an Occupy Wall Street type of, you know, movement would get people going. What's your opinion about that movement? I see it as kind of like the Tea Party, a populist thing, but it's
very
also...
Very much, I agree. I think both. But by the same token, protesting, whether it's the Tea Party protest or whether it's Occupy Wall Street protest, all that proves is democracy is not working. You know, we all love democracy, but it's not working. And so we got to do something to change it. And protesting won't change it. You pass a law to change it. In order to pass a law, you need the power to pass a law. And that's what the National Citizens Initiative is all about. It is a single-purpose piece of legislation, one time, won't have to be done twice, one time to empower citizens to be able to set policies and to provide them with the legislative procedures so they can be deliberative in their actions.
Excellent. All right, we'll talk more about this a little bit in the show. You're listening to former Senator Mike Gravel on the People Speak radio show, broadcasting on BBS Radio and InYourFaceRadio.net. The number is 888-429-5471. Do you think, Senator, that the Tea Party movement was kind of in alignment with more of the people's rights than any other movement we've seen in a while?
To a degree, I think Occupy movement is on the same page. But here again, keep in mind, whether it's the Tea Party, in reading a lot about the Tea Party, I think there's a lot that they misunderstood about how our country was started and the Constitution itself. You know, they just adore the Constitution. But keep in mind, this Constitution was the one that put slavery in place. The Constitution was written by human beings, elites, who protected their interest as elites. And that's the reason why they set up representative government, so that the best the people could do is vote for personalities, give them the power to rule over our society. And that's not the answer. The answer is the people. We are the people who habitate this planet and this country, and we're in charge. The problem is we need procedures to be able to affect our will, and we don't have to have recourse to violent protests or revolutions. We're all mature enough now to do this through law.
And with that, trying to harness the amount of people that's necessary to get that moving, if we don't get a constitutional amendment, if we don't get the National Citizens Initiative for Democracy, we don't get a constitutional amendment that overturns Citizen United and corporations as personhood, what do we do?
We're stuck. We're stuck living at the behest of the dead hand of the past. Which is what happened in the Constitution, which gave power to our leaders and took the people out of the equation, except on election day, when all you can do is vote for personalities at the end of a campaign who spend billions of dollars persuading you they're the answer. This is what Citizens United is all about. And then after they're elected, then they spend billions of dollars lobbying them. Yeah, the best graphic example I can give about the lack of representation of the people, when you go to Capitol Hill, you get there by subway, but other than the subway, there's no place to park. Now, the lobbyists can get there coming from Gucci Gulch in their limousines, and are people paying a taxi, but as far as the public having a place to park on Capitol Hill, there's just no place. And so that gives you an idea of what they think of the people.
That's right.
On Capitol Hill.
I had a walk for I was just there a month ago. I went to see my representative, Daryl Issa, and I had to walk for miles and miles and miles.
Just, it's terrible.
It was a shame. That's what it was. And I kept thinking, this is an absolute shame that we have to. I felt shut out. even though I was allowed in and I was, I felt literally shut out of my own rep, even, and he wasn't even there. So, okay, I want to talk a little bit about, we got some time here. I want to talk a little bit about the healthcare ruling that just came down. I know your stand on healthcare. I remember 2008 and prior to that was vouchers. For every citizen.
A kind of voucher, a kind of voucher. What I wanted was single payer. That means that the we pay for the whole thing with tax dollars, but in the operation, we break it up into regional stakeholder groups so that we keep the government down to a minimum. Now, the way we have it now, government is still at a minimum, so to speak. But what we have in command are the insurance companies. Obamacare was nothing but a subsidy to the insurance companies of the United States, increasing the administrative cost of health care in the country. And it didn't cover everybody. It's an abomination. And now all we're talking about is, oh, it's now legal. The Supreme Court has done the job. It just is truly, truly ridiculous. We don't need to subsidize the insurance companies. And so you still got the same problem where businesses have to fund health care, makes them uncompetitive with companies that don't have that problem in other countries because it's paid for by the central government. So there's no when the Obamacare passed Congress, 70% of the American people wanted single payer.
Right.
70%. So that shows you how responsive it wasn't even left in the legislation as an option. And so now we're stuck arguing over something that's a mess and will continue to be a mess and will continue to really drive us into the ground financially.
Do you think that this is like a springboard or a starting point that Congress might use in the future to eventually get to, oh God, I know I'm hoping here and dreaming still, but to get us to single payer someday or no?
You are dreaming. You are dreaming. No, not at all. There's that old saying, well, let's pass this and we'll correct it later. When I was in the Senate, boy, that was you did that all the time. We'll take a half a loaf, we'll take a compromise, and we'll straighten it out later. It never got straightened out. It never got straightened out. And so what you're seeing now with the healthcare system, you got to believe that anytime you're going to try to straighten out the healthcare system, the amount of money that will be spent by the insurance companies to keep the advantage that they have will be in the billions. And, of course, they get this money from their profits from selling you insurance. So you're paying for it one way or the other. The difference is you're using the insurance companies as a broker when you can be paying for it directly through taxes.
Right. And you mentioned before about mainstream media only giving us what their corporate masters want us to hear. So there's so much news going on out there, and I'd say we're bombarded from all sides. Anyway, I have a question here from Mike in California. What do you think about Congressman Walter Jones' attempt to impeach Obama?
It's not going to go anywhere. Yeah. We have presidential elections. They can talk about impeachment. This is grandstanding. It really is. I think he'd be better off to pay attention to his constituents and their daily needs rather than grandstanding, talking about impeaching Obama. What's he going to impeach him on?
I know. I guess that there is some fraction of some party somewhere putting out all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, I think going into or prior to 2008, this is just my opinion, this is an opinion radio, but this is my opinion, we had plenty to go after Bush and Cheney on. But
They started a war. Yeah. They started a war that cost billions of dollars, that cost human life, and who's prosecuted them? In fact, Obama, when he got into office, he said, we don't look back. Well, that's so he can't be prosecuted. Because in many respects, he's doing exactly the same thing. But that's the tragedy of it. And Obama is spending more on defense and military than Bush ever did. In fact, we spend more on defense than all the rest of the world put together, and nobody's a threat to us.
Right,
terrorism's
right.
a threat. We're the ones that build the terrorists, you know, with the wars and what we do to other countries.
Right. Well, the secret society that existed under the Bush-Cheney regime was the perfect example of your history repeating itself. I felt like the Pentagon Papers was the same thing that the Bush and Cheney regime was doing, and on top of that, taking advantage of a mourning nation to incite this craziness about a war plus the Patriot Act. But that's my own opinion. And
your opinions are accurate. Your opinions are accurate. Don't belittle them. You're right on target. And look at what Obama's doing. He's trying to prosecute Julian Assange and also a private Manning.
This is
terrible.
Bradley Manning.
What's his name? Obama has five times more effort at prosecuting whistleblowers than Bush did. This is the guy that was going to bring about transparency and change. He's just made it worse.
I know, and there. I know that there's a lot of progressives that are, I don't know how else to say it. Voting this time, probably like Republicans did in 2004. Anybody but Bush. Anybody but Obama. It's just come full circle. It seems like we've just come around to the exact same thing. Have another question for you, Linda in Missouri. Senator, who are you voting for president, and why?
I probably am not going to vote for either Mitt Romney or Obama, and I probably would vote for a Libertarian candidate. And why? Because I have no confidence that the monopolists, the two major parties, will do anything to bring back democracy to this country.
Right, and the only thing we're going to have is a constitutional amendment that could help us, but it'll be up to us to make that happen. Okay, I just want to, if you're listening, if you just joined us right now, you're listening to former Senator Mike Gravelle on the People Speak Radio broadcasting on BBS Radio and InYourFaceRadio.net. Comments and questions, we're in Pal Talk if you want to go in there. We also have a toll-free number, 888-429-5471. The lines are open. That's for any party or any citizen or anybody in the U.S. and Canada, and you can ask Senator Gravelle a question. Okay, Citizens United. Corporate personhood. Why is that message getting across? Why is that?
Well, it's getting across in a bad way. In other words, corporate personhood is really given more rights to corporations than individuals have, and that's the tragedy of it. We need to repeal corporate personhood. And the amendment that I have with the National Initiative, the National Citizens Initiative, we outlaw all monies that do not come from a natural person. And the monies that come from a natural person have no cap on it. So corporations, associations, religions, you name it, unions cannot donate to an initiative campaign. And I feel that once the National Citizens Initiative is enacted into law, the American people will quickly pass an amendment that will require no money in any of the political process.
I'm one for term limits. I think term limits are necessary.
I join you on that. And the logic is real simple. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the only defense you have against that is to limit the amount of time anybody has power.
I would hope that would go somewhere, and that, you know, we live by that rule, each one teach one. And if our voices or Senator Gravelle's voice is carrying over to you, you tell someone about the, or here's the website, NCID, correct, Senator, NCID.us, the National Center for Democracy.
And you can vote there, you can learn, and you can do a PhD thesis with the amount of information we have there, and then you can contribute. So it's all there, NCID.us, which stands for the National Citizens for Democracy.
How many leaders have you ever found that have gotten on board with that? Have you found any?
Well,
any
a number. Oh, yeah. The site, when you go to our site, you can click on those who support us. And we got quite a bevy of names of people of note who support the initiative. What we need to do is to get everybody to start voting for it. That's it. And as we vote, stop and think what will happen to the media. Once we get 10 million people voting, they'll pay attention to this. They'll pay attention, and the more attention they pay, the more Americans will wake up to the possibility that the answer is their empowerment. The answer is for them to vote for themselves, not for politicians who are just going to go do what the lobbyists want.
Are there any other countries right now that do have that type of procedure in place? Are there any other countries?
There are several that have it at the state level, like we have it, but at the state level, it's not very good. But there's one country, which is Switzerland, and the Swiss have a good system, but they made a mistake. They have included the people with their representatives. And so basically, representative government still runs the show, but the people have quite a say. And this is very significant, because when it was put in place in 1848, they had just finished a three-year religious civil war. And at the time, they were one of the poorest nations in Europe. They have four religions, four languages, four cultures. And today, the Swiss have lived in peace ever since 1848, and they are one of the wealthiest people in the world. All because they brought the people into the operation of government as partners with their elected officials. But in the legislation that we have, we don't permit the people to be involved directly with representative government. Representative government is there. We don't change that. What we do is we set up a separate agency, the Citizens Trust, to administer the procedures on behalf of the citizens. And so you have a legislature of the people that can function in every government jurisdiction of the United States.
Senator, aren't there some states that do allow voting on referendums directly?
Oh, yeah, 24 states. But okay. I must say, those states, they're corrupted by money, because there's nobody that has any limitation on money. And two, they're corrupted by the fact that the judiciary and the politicians can get involved in the initiative process. Right. Under the language that we have in the National Citizens Initiative, the people are totally independent and separate of representative government in what they're doing.
Excellent. Yeah, see, that would be definitely something to investigate. And again, everyone who can, each one teach one, just keep going there and keep promoting NICD.US.
NCID.US.
Right, NCID.US. All right, I'm going to take a quick break here, Senator. When we come back, I have a bunch of questions here in our PAL Talk room. If you all want to join in, the number is 888-429-5471. This is JD on the People Speak radio show, broadcasting on BBS Radio and In Your Face Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is JD on the People Speak radio show, broadcasting on BBS Radio and InYourFaceRadio.net. Tonight's guest is 2008 presidential candidate and former senator from Alaska, Senator Mike Gravel. The number is 888-429-5471. We're also in our PAL Talk room. If you want to come into PAL Talk, the studio is wide open. Log in, get yourself a cute little screen name or whatever you call it, and go on in there. If you have any questions, we'd be more than happy to entertain your comments and questions. Again, the number is 888-429-5474. I have a question here, Senator, from Frank in Arizona. What do you have to say about the recent Supreme Court decision in Arizona regarding immigration? I'm assuming he's talking about SB 1070.
Yeah, and I essentially stay away from the immigration issue. I think it's really horrible the way it's been handled. You know, when I was a young man, immigration was not a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's because of these various trade agreements we've made that has exacerbated the problem, particularly in Mexico and in Central America. The answer to immigration is to have a guest process where people can come in and work and go home, if that's their case. But we must be very, very aware that it was immigration that made our country so great. My parents were immigrants from Canada, and so it was immigrants. And so this attitude that, well, you know, I got mine, let's pull up the ladder, is not going to work. In fact, our problem in this country is very, very serious in that regard.
Right.
So, I have not seen anything in the way of immigration legislation that I thought was worth spending a lot of time studying it.
Right. Well, I noticed that the far right, at times, their message seems to sink in, and it really did occur a lot just prior to the Tea Party movement moving up in 2010, about all of a sudden it was as if, like everything else that had come out of the ugly Bush-Cheney regime, all of a sudden immigrants were ugly and illegal, and we had to build these wars. It just got, it was like freedom fries. It just seemed you know, so pointless. And but there it was, and nonetheless, it is an issue that the Supreme Court did eventually. But what scares me, and maybe you can comment on this, is the Republican governors picking up on this climate of cultural hate or cultural.
It is, and it's really demagoguery at its worst.
Yes.
Politicians do this with great ease. And of course, what they're trying to do is to convince the American people that their problems are caused by immigrants. The problems are not caused by immigrants. The problems are caused by our leaders who throw this money at a defense budget, who turn around and favor the elites. You know, it's the 1%. When I was speaking in Europe last year, there's an institute in Zurich that had done a study of multinational corporations, 43,000 of them. They winnowed it down to 1,300 corporations, and these corporations are related through interlocking directorates and through personal relationship. And these 1,300 corporations own 60% of the wealth of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of Tea Party people get all upset about the New World Order. Well, I got to tell you, we do have a New World Order. It is a corporate world order. We are run by corporate society, international corporations, many, many of them American corporations, and they are running the world, and the world is a mess as a result of this. And, of course, the corporations are running the United States of America also.
Right. I also noticed that corporations are, well, corporations have access to everything. Of course, we don't, but they also have access to our departments that will bring other countries and other corporations to the table without the public's knowledge. What's the new one? The Trans-Pacific Partnership is coming up, I think, right here in San Diego.
But the obvious one is NATO.
Oh, yeah.
NATO was designed to foster the military-industrial complex throughout the world under the leadership of the United States. That's
right.
What that's all about.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, that was the beginning of how this can all change the way Americans are able to have a voice anywhere. I have a question from Kevin in New York. Can Senator Gravel tell us how the draft ended? I'm assuming he's talking about your part in ending the draft in Vietnam.
Yeah, in 1971, I started filibustering in May. Hatfield was going to join me, but Mike Mansfield permitted it to be on a two-track system. And so in the course of that summer and into September, we waged a daily filibuster to let the draft expire as it did at the end of June. And then a deal was cut with the Nixon administration involving John Stennis, who was carrying the legislation, that they would renew the draft, and the price of that would be to break my filibuster. But they'd renew the draft, but they would let it expire 2 years later in 1973. So we set the stage in 71 to force the expiration of the draft in 73. And the principle being very simple is, as a peaceful nation does not need the draft to go out and populate the military. Lyndon Johnson was able to expand the draft for the Vietnam War, and we want to stop that. Now, there's an unintended consequence of this, and this is the whole concept that the Republicans have advocated, and that's the privatization. We have privatized our military to get around the fact that we can't institute the draft, and as a result of that, we have a military that is totally, a private military that is totally unaccountable to the American people.
Right. I also want to mention real quick, for those of you who don't know. I believe we have a caller here on line three. First, you're on the air with Senator Mike Gravel.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the Senator, how does he feel about the Electoral College, and is it time that we put the Electoral College to sleep forever? Because it seems like every election, it's the swing states, which are probably 10 swing states, that call the election. And I just think we should go to a popular vote and do away with the Electoral College. We'd like to find out how the Senator feels about that.
I totally agree with you. And the problem is with the Electoral College that a person from Wyoming or Alaska has five times more clout in voting for a president than a person in California or Illinois or New York. The Electoral College will never be repealed until we can put in place the National Citizens Initiative so that you can, as a citizen, vote to repeal it. Because, you see, it under the present process of changing the Constitution, you need three-fourths of the state legislatures. Now, all legislatures but one have two chambers. So that means that the Senate of the small states, an example in Alaska, we only had 20 members of the Senate. Well, that means that if you had enough 13 chambers in these small states, and that would amount to probably no more than 500 people, that they can thwart any possibility of improving our country. And that's been the case from the get-go.
Right. That has been.
Thank you, Senator. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Go vote at the ncid.us.
Yeah, make sure you do that. All right. The number again is 888-429-5471. I'm JD on the People Speak radio show, broadcasting on BBS Radio and inyourfaceradio.net. We have another question. Samantha in Texas. How does the Senator, how does Mike, being from the same state as Sarah Palin, does he feel embarrassed? Are you embarrassed?
That's I did not know Sarah Palin before or after she became famous, and I'm embarrassed that she had so little knowledge about the workings of the world. But she was a gifted politician who knew how to project, and that's what carried her forward. But as far as knowledge about foreign affairs, about the what was going on within the government, she had no knowledge, and she totally co-opted out to the military, which has quite a substantial presence in Alaska. So she's not going anywhere. What's happened with Sarah Palin, she's made a lot of money, and she's probably very happy.
Right.
That made all that money off of politics.
And Ted Stevens from Alaska, too. Can you just go into your relationship with Ted Stevens?
We did not get along very well at all when we served together. I got elected in 1968. He got appointed when Bob Bartlett died to the Senate. And so while he was in the Senate, we did not agree on military policies, defense policies. He was on the Appropriations Committee and probably was the greatest handmaiden the military establishment ever had in the Senate. And so as a result of that, he continued to get elected. Unfortunately, his career ended with a scandal, and he was killed in an airplane accident in Alaska, an airplane ride that was paid for by lobbyists.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember that was a horrific thing to happen. And do you think the climate is a lot, well, I know it is, but I would say do you think that there's a huge division or irreparable division within Congress now that's going to take years and years? I mean, it just seems like it just happened in the scheme of things. Do you think that the division that's there now can ever be repaired?
Not until the people become lawmakers in their own right, and then you'll see the representative system shape up a great deal. And so it's a win-win. They'll be doing a better job in the day-to-day operation of government. The people will be able to set the policies and enact laws. Mm-hmm. So I don't see any immediate change until you can change the structure of our system of governance, and that's what the National Citizens Initiative is all about.
Right,
NCID.us.
I have one last question for you, Jane in California. What should the USA do about Syria? This will be the last question.
I don't think we should do anything. You know, we could say we're going to go in there and save them from Assad. It's a lot more complicated than that. We don't see a democracy burgeoning in Egypt or in Libya or certainly in Iraq. In fact, now that we've pulled our people out of Iraq, there's more killings going on now than there was before. So whenever we go in with our presence, we do not help the situation. What we need to do is to give an example about democracy, and we don't do a good job at that because we're trashing our own democracy right here at home with what we're doing with the Patriot Act, with the ability of the government to set up internment camps of American citizens, and with the ability for the president wantonly to be able to kill anybody in the world, including American citizens. That's not a democracy that I want to live in.
Right. All right. Well, Senator, I want to thank you for your time. I know we got the NCID.us website. Are you still under MikeGravel.us?
Yes, for me, yes.
There. Okay, yep. Great. All right. Well, I want to thank you for being here, and I'd love to have you back on the People Speak Radio show.
I'll be happy to come back anytime you invite me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Next Tuesday is Tangerine Bolin, the plaintiff on the lawsuit against the NDAA, and we'll be speaking to her, the judgment in her favor, on the People Speak Radio show next week. Also in the Pal Talk studio room, social issues category, that'll be July 10th from 9 to 10 p.m. I'm Jane D. That's East Coast, by the way. I'm J.D., and I want to thank Mike and Doug and everyone at the People Speak Radio and BBS Radio for allowing me the opportunity to spend this evening with you. Be sure to stop by all of our websites, People Speak Radio, BBS Radio, and, of course, In Your Face Radio. And give it a voice. That's what we're here. So on behalf of all of them and myself, JD, your political rock goddess, remember, check your closed minds at the door. I'm out of here. Thanks again.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.